could work your way back to your seats. I do want to read something before we sit down. They didn't get to it. There's a part of this song where it says, "Your goodness is running after me." I love that word picture because it doesn't mean that when I get to you, then your goodness and faithfulness are in my life. It means your goodness is literally running after me. It's running towards me. It's such a powerful message. God is so good. And I know that you may have heard the words to that song and said, you know what? It doesn't feel like God is faithful in this moment. That's a fair thought. And I've prayed that before. God, you don't feel very faithful in this moment. You don't know what I'm going through in this moment. And I'm telling you, every single time, I can look back on my life to those moments where he didn't feel faithful, and I can see that he was faithful. It's okay if you don't feel it in the moment. Sometimes we worship, and it's a declaration that, God, I know you're going to be faithful. I know you're here. I don't feel it. I might not recognize it for 2 or 3 years from now, but I know you are faithful in this situation. Hallelujah. I want to read from Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. This is the Gospel of Luke. It's the third gospel in the New Testament. And this is the story of they call it in the header of my Bible, says the parable of the lost son. You may have heard of it as the parable of the prodigal son. If you've read the story, you know there's two stories before it where they tell the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, and then they tell the parable of the lost son. I want to read from chapter 15, verse 11 this morning. It said, "Then he said," this is Jesus saying this, "a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, when the son was spent, when he was out of money, when he was out of energy, when he was out of giving any sort of whatever, when he had spent himself, there arose a severe famine in the land. When he thought, 'It can't get any worse, I've totally spent my money, my energy, everything,' there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine." That's pigs. "He was feeding pigs, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." You can be seated this morning. It's Father's Day. I feel compelled to speak to fathers this morning. But if you will pay attention and you will let God speak to you, God will speak to you whether you're a father or not. Being a father is an interesting thing. I'm close to it, and I'm sorry, I'm having some technical difficulties here. Being a father is an interesting thing. Even before I became a father, I knew and recognized that there were expectations of a father. If you sat through anything, you've watched a YouTube video, an Instagram reel, a service, you know, dads, we're supposed to provide and to protect and to lead. I've heard that message preached 20 times. Where there's an expectation that you have to be strong. There's a verse actually in the Bible that says, "Be strong, act like men." And we take that to say, also say, don't show any weaknesses. There's an expectation, fathers, that you need to have all the answers. Let me give you an example. On the way to church this morning, my daughter asked me, "If all the cars in the world lined up, would reach the moon?" Thank God for ChatGPT. We worked our way through that one. Fathers, as a father, you're supposed to keep it all together. You got to think through everything, and financially too. You feel that pressure financially, not just for now and trying to pay the bills paycheck to paycheck, but also, what am I going to do in the future for my family? Father, there's this expectation. It's not just provide and protect and lead. You got to be present. But don't be emotional. There's an expectation to succeed and perform and do good so your kids can succeed. There's an expectation to just figure it out. The world hands fathers a list and walks away. That's what happens in society today. We hand fathers a list and we walk away and no one shows up to help you carry it. And so fathers, we pick it up alone. We perform alone and we fail alone. Maybe that's why so many men live with a deep sense of fatherlessness. Not necessarily a physical fatherlessness, that's a thing too, but an emotional and spiritual fatherlessness. So many men live with a deep sense of fatherlessness. We think that the answer to this pressure and these expectations, maybe it's not you, maybe it's just me, the answer is if I can get more rest, if I can get more me time, Justin. Justin and I talk about that a lot. If I can get more rest or more me time, but can I tell you that you cannot rest your way out of being empty? There's only so much that me time can do to help you not feel spent. Because the problem was never the workload. The problem is that we have been working as servants and not living as sons. We try to earn everything because we think our identity is in what we do. Let me just tell you, I was filling out my Father's Day card for my dad this morning. Happy Father's Day, Dad. You'll get it later. And it said, I appreciate all you, and I stopped writing. Because it shouldn't be about what you do. But that's how we think in society. We are appreciative. Thank you for all you do. But that's not what we're called. We don't earn things because of what we do. That isn't our identity. Instead, fathers, we need to embrace our identity as a son of God. I love this story of the prodigal son. It starts out in verse 12 where the son says, give me. Give me. Give me. I'm going to add some words here. Give me so I can make myself great. Give me so I can prove myself to you. Give me so I can be by myself. This man wanted to grow up. Maybe he wanted to take responsibility to be a man. Or maybe he was just getting away from his father, but it was all about me. Give me. And we read in the next verses that it wasn't just about him. It says he journeyed to a far country and wasted his possessions with prodigal living. It wasn't just about me. Whenever we make something about us, it's also we're walking away from God. We're walking away from the Father. When we think that it's about what I can do, and just give me the money and I'll take care of things, I'll make it happen, I can build a good life. You've got a decent life, Dad. Give me half of that and let me show you what a real good life could be. And it says he wasted his possessions with prodigal or riotous in the King James Version. That means it was wasteful. It was self-destructive. In fact, in some translations, it can be called he was living in an unsavable manner. And then in verse 14 and 15, it says, but when he had spent all, he began to be in want. And he works on a farm and he's feeding pigs and he's eating the slop that the pigs ate. Can I tell you that living apart from your father can look fine for a season? It can even be fun. I'm sure spending all that money on the things he spent it on was a good time. It can even be successful. But a life that we build on earning will eventually, men, empty you out. A life you build on earning will eventually empty you out. Working to prove yourself spends you. Working to please people spends you. Working out of obligation spends you. And when he had spent all, when he was spent, he began to be in want. Any motivation that isn't love and relationship will eventually spend you out and leave you in want. Any motivation, fathers, that isn't out of love and relationship will eventually spend you out and leave you in want. The spending of himself didn't just leave him empty. It left him serving a system that could not satisfy him, feeding and eating with the pigs. Man, there's a lesson here that when we are trying to earn something, when we are trying to do our way to approval, we will always be in want and we will always feel spent. It doesn't matter what you're doing. The story continues in verse 17. I'll read through these. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me. The words change. Make me like one of your hired servants. We notice two things in this son's response. We notice one, that his focus of return was no longer on the possessions. It wasn't on the title. It wasn't on what can I do to earn this? The focus of his return was on his father. Not on the home, not on the goods, not on the possessions, not on the title. His focus was on his father. His perspective had changed. It wasn't about earning anymore. It wasn't about achieving anymore. It was about something else. The second thing that we notice is that his words go from give me to make me. We start to see a lesson here on what it means to be a son. Being a son is not God, give me everything. Father, give me everything. A son, he went from wanting to improve himself or to prove himself to submitting to the love and work of his father in his life. He went from saying, I'm going to earn this, give me the money, let me go out there and do it my way, to saying, you know what, I don't even care what I have or how I get it, it doesn't matter, I want to be a son. I'm going to submit to my father, I'm going to submit to his love in my life and to his work in my life. Trusting that his father would do the work. He said, make me, I know we said like one of your hired servants, but he said, make me. Fathers, men, we need to return to our father. Not our physical father. We need to return to our heavenly father. And can I tell you, we cannot and we do not earn anything with our heavenly father. We can't. It doesn't work that way. In fact, I love this in Ephesians 2:8. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God. Well, you got to do a little something, right? No, it says, not of works, verse 9, lest anyone should boast. You can't work your way to salvation. Everything, God's goodness is given freely. It's by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, I love this. Remember, he said, Father, make me. It's not about give me anymore, Father. It's not about give me, give me, give me. It's Father, make me. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. These verses show us that works cannot save us. It is hard. I'll tell you, men, it is hard to accept gifts. It's weird when you bring me a little bag and everybody's clapping like it's like, I appreciate it. I'm telling you as a man, it's hard to accept gifts freely. I feel like I need to earn it when my family gives me something. I feel like I need to earn it when something happens at a job or a work. I feel like I need to work hard for something. It's hard for us to accept a gift as a man. We want to earn it. I believe in our heart we feel like we need to earn it. But working to earn your place with God will spend you. Instead, it says we are his workmanship. That means we're not doing the work. It says we submit to him and say, Father, make me. And it's workmanship here means masterpiece. We are the masterpiece that he is doing the work in. And I love this. It says he prepared it beforehand, before the son left, before we sin, before we try things on our own, before we leave our father, before we ever get spent. He prepared it beforehand. But it all comes to us submitting to his work, saying, Father, make me. I don't have a long thought this morning. The musicians actually can work their way back up here. When the son changes his mind and he says, and he focuses on his father and his wording changed from giving, give me, to make me. We can learn a lesson here. Remember I said the first story is on the lost sheep. And the shepherd goes after it and finds it and celebrates. And the second story is the lost coin. And the woman searches everywhere carefully and finds it and celebrates. And in both of these stories, there's something along the lines of, and when they found it, they celebrated with all their friends and family. And then it says, and all of heaven rejoices when one sinner, when one person repents, and when they turn to God. All of heaven rejoices. I think sometimes we're afraid because we're like, oh, I'm turning to God, but you don't know what I'm turning from. You don't know what's happening to me. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what sin I did this morning. But can I tell you, when we turn to God, all of heaven rejoices. But this story is a little bit different because in both of those stories, the shepherd went out searching for the sheep and the woman went searching carefully for the coin, but the father never goes searching for his son. I don't believe sheep have choice, and I don't believe coins have choice, but I believe we have choice. We have the choice to become a son or live in a faraway land. We have the choice to say, Father, give me, peace out, or say, Father, make me. Luke puts all these three stories together, but in the prodigal, the father does not go after or search carefully for his son. Instead, the father sits at home. Can I tell you, man, that the love never leaves? The love never left. The father waited for a turn, not for the son to get all the way back. The father didn't wait for the son to get all the way back. He wasn't waiting for some perfect son to walk through the door. He was waiting for a turn. And grace moved the moment the son turned. It says the father noticed a great way off. Can I tell you that the father's compassion was already moving before the son said a single word? Let's read through these verses. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. We need to pause here because in that culture, if you were a man of this father's standing, you did not run. Running was beneath you. But to this father, dignity didn't matter anymore because his son turned. His son wanted to be a son again, and dignity goes out the door. And it says, while he was a great way off, he saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck. And his father said to his servants in verse 22, bring out the best robes and put it on him. There's the celebration. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring in the calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. This word compassion, We think we know what it means. It doesn't just mean, oh, he feels bad or he feels good. This word compassion, it's used here, it means much deeper than that. Actually, the word compassion is the same word when you read it through the New Testament that they get from bowels or stomach. Same exact word. Bowels or stomach. This father was gut-wrenched. He was moved at his core that his son was turning. Look at the different things it describes about the father. His eyes were watching. His stomach was gut-wrenched. His feet ran. His arms wrapped around his neck. And his face kissed him. Fathers, God wants you to see that mental picture today. God wants you to see that mental picture that his eyes are watching. His stomach is just, it's wrenched for you in a great way. His feet are running towards you. His arms will wrap your neck and they will kiss you. This father went from watching to running to embracing to kissing to restoring. This is the work that God wants to do in the life of his sons. Can we stand this morning?